Welcome to Crane Radio. Celebrate a life well lived.
Welcome to Season 2 of The Modern Crone, the rise of the energy arts. This season, I'm talking with the most highly regarded and established energy healers that I know about their views on energy, the psyche, and the dazzling capacities of the human system. We will be exploring 6 different energy healing modalities, and together we'll take the energy arts from woo-woo to wow-wow and deepen the narrative of what I and many believe to be the future of healing and wellness science. I hope you feel inspired. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest for this second season of The Modern Crone, The Rise of the Energy Arts. Pascal Genard is a Qigong master, Qi healer, and a certified life coach. She started her professional life in banking for 10 years and then moved into motherhood of 2 wonderful kids. She fell in love with Tai Chi and started competing in Singapore, Hong Kong, and China. Qigong came into her life as a way to improve her Tai Chi and learn to feel more deeply the movement of Qi. And this deeper exploration led her to being a golden medalist several times. In 2014, Pascal fell sick with thyroid dysfunction and decided then to explore the power of the Qi. She was able to restart her thyroid by practicing Qigong, which led her to create her company, Qi Balance, and start teaching. She wanted to share this fantastic body and mind health tool. Pascal studied Qigong for 10 years with a Chinese grandmaster and has been teaching since 2014. During those 10 years, Pascal developed her Qi knowledge by studying acupressure, the yin and yang qualities of food, Reiki, and finally, when she felt she was ready to go deeper, she did her training in Qi healing, which is what we're discussing today. During COVID in recent years, Pascal also completed her ICF certification as a life coach, as she realized a lot of her clients needed to share and have a safe space to reflect after the healing, and she wanted to be sure she had the tools to offer that space. Pascal also happens to be my much-loved Qigong master, who I see every week in these beautiful lessons, a highly regarded Qigong master in Singapore. Pascal Genard, welcome to The Modern Crone. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to talk to the podcast with you.
I'm so pleased you're here and you're available. Thank you. So let's get straight into it. Could you explain what Qi healing is in a nutshell?
So Qi healing, you have to go a little bit back and think the Qi is a breath, life force in the Chinese, and it's a part of the Chinese medicine. So the Chinese medicine, you have this life force going through your body, and when your Qi is blocked, you get sick. So depending where the qi is blocked, you will develop different sickness. The qi healing is one of the way we can unblock that qi. So you can do it manually with, for example, acupuncture, or qigong is one of our other way to do it. And the qi healing is using the energy all around us and concentrate them on the body to tell the body, wake up, you're not doing your job properly. Get back in line and clear that blockage.
Yeah, I mean, so I have to say that, you know, every week when I see, and I'm well, but every week when I see you, I think I can feel that.
Yeah.
You know, I feel a lift, I feel vitality. you know, in your classes you theme them, so which is somehow psychic. Like I turn up every week and you'll say, well, you know, we're doing opening the heart of forgiveness. I'm going, how did you know I needed that? But it really is quite a, it's a felt effect, isn't it? It's incredible.
Yes, yes. And the Qigong is, it's just a way of living, because we have all those emotions all the time. So we are, if we are not processing those emotions every day through our body, we will stock those emotions. So it's just a continuous movement. I always think about the qi like a river, and you have those rocks of things stuck coming down into the river. And, well, it may not affect the flow of the river, but if it keeps piling, then you suddenly, the river doesn't flow well. You have too much water on the top and not enough going down. And then you have an unbalancing through the whole river, because you have branch and they don't get enough water. Yeah. And the body is the same. You have to have this flow, continuous flow of energy to be able to properly function. And so you need to clear your river regularly, because those emotions, they are there every day, all the time. So you need to process them.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, it just intuitively makes sense, doesn't it? And if you look at, like, even the anatomical charts of blood flow, or the anatomical charts of, for example, like the central nervous system, or even the neural networks of the brain, they're all little rivers, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Amazing. Yeah. So qi itself, the energy of qi, so in the energy arts world that we both belong in, but often the term qi is used interchangeably with like prana or reiki or life, vital life force. But do you see these different categories or names for this life energy? Is it, are we talking about the same thing?
Yes, yes, it's totally the same thing. When you talk, for example, in yoga, you will talk about the chakra, who are a reservoir of energy. And in Qigong, we call that the anten. We have three in Qigong chakra. You have a whole bunch of it that I don't know by heart. But they are related. So you have the lower, the anten, and then you have the three chakra of the yoga connecting to that lower dhyantan. So it's the same
system.
ID, same system, but different name depending on where it comes from.
Yeah, and so then the difference with the modalities. So as you know, I'm a Reiki master, and so are you, aren't you? And it's really about not so much a difference in the type of energy, but more a difference in the way we may engage with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Totally. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So what's your journey? You know, I mean, you started off in banking. How did you end up becoming an energy healer and an energy master? Really? What? How did that play out?
It's life circumstance, I think. Well, I started the very traditional study pushed by my very Cartesian parents. So you need to have a good job to get money.
Yeah, good mom and dad.
Yes. Yeah. And when I was in the banking world, I always felt I was not at the right place, you know, where you look at people and you feel like you are here and everybody's there and you are looking at them and thinking, why? What are they doing?
Yeah, I'm an outsider here. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I had the opportunity to become a mother at home, I thought, yeah, that suit me better. And then it's something I always do things. I'm a perfectionist. So when I was working in the bank, I would put all my effort. I climbed the ladder, I was heading three different groups, 40 people, everything. But then I didn't feel like I was going anywhere. It didn't bring me anything, just stress. And so then I move on to motherhood, and I thought, yep, I'm going to be the best mother.
Yep, yep.
And so I went full on organizing play dates. And,
been there.
And then we moved to Singapore, and the kids were in their growing early teen, and then I realized, yeah, okay, no, they don't need me anymore. They have their own life. They need to be independent. You need to do something else. So I was in Asia, and I thought, let's do something Asian. So I first decided to study Chinese, but after two lessons, I thought, ooh, that's not going to work.
Been there too.
So we discover there was a class of Qigong in a community center near my house with an Australian friend, and we say, let's try. And so we went. We were the only foreigner, and everybody was very excited to see us, you know, foreigner look, trying to learn Tai Chi. And I quite enjoyed it in the beginning because the teacher wasn't speaking so well English. I had no idea about the chi, the energy. For me, it was just a sort of gymnastic, you know, that that you do to keep you in good health. And so it took me about a year to really realize that there was something behind. That's when I start to read online and have a little bit more deepen in my practice.
Yeah.
And so the Qigong came because you have to, when you practice Tai Chi, you have to show that internal force. So when you do the movement, people looking at you have to feel the Qi.
Okay.
So for example, my Tai Chi teacher who's in his 70s, when you see him sitting on a chair and you look at him and say, okay, that's an old man.
Yeah.
And when he would get up and do his routine, and you would drop your jaw because it was so powerful. Yeah. And he looks like 20 years younger doing his movement. That was very impressive.
There's something in it, yeah.
And so, because we had a little trouble getting that knowledge that she could difficultly explain in English what the concept was. And
yeah.
So we were very rational and very Western.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why and how. And
yeah, up in your brains.
Up in our brains.
Yeah.
So we had a difficulty grasping the concept, so that's why she brought a Qigong master to really show us the Qi. Because Qigong is really focusing on the moving the Qi. Tai Chi is coming from the martial art, and it's a defense practice, so it's more learning the
moves. Yeah.
And Qigong is more getting in touch with your internal force and use it to live better, to heal your body, to heal your mind. So from the Qigong to the Qi healing, so I worked, I teach, and then I start to feel comfortable, and I could feel that energy. And so that's from there I decided, well, I need something more. I want to do something more. And so I start to look around the different technique of self-healing. So I did the Reiki. I did different body talk.
Yep.
I came across this gentleman who was working with the energy, and so I follow his teaching, and that's where you can really feel that you are part of something bigger.
Yeah, beautiful.
So it's a bit like you are an antenna, and then you get all this energy around you, and you concentrated on the person.
Absolutely, and beautiful. So we're going to get to that. But, you know, and this is another common element with the other healers that I know is part of their journey into really getting their game on with healing and helping others heal. They do study different modalities because it just deepens and fills out the picture a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes. And I mean, everybody's different and has different attraction, and you have to try out. I think curiosity toward this different world of energy is what's important, because every time you learn something and you would say, okay, I like that, but I don't like that, and I would like something better, something like that, and then you keep looking until you find, oh, that correspond to me.
So you're kind of really honing the fit that works best for your mind and who you are and how you can explain things. And I agree with that. I think that's really been my process as well. So let's go to chi healing itself. Mm-mm. So could you describe for us what a typical chi healing session might look like?
Yeah, okay. So usually we start, the person just stand up, relax, hands along her body, and I will start moving the energy around her with my hands. And then I will put my hands on her and different point of the body, head, heart, belly, depending on, sometimes people come with problems or physical or mental that happen too. And so the session will be different for each person, depending on where I want to work on. And if the person is just curious, that happened too.
Yeah, that happens with me too.
Then you just do all around.
A sort of a general 12K service. Yeah. So you have said to me before, when we've talked about this before, that when a client comes in, you're able to perceive where the blocks are.
It's more like when I put my hands on the person, I can feel if the energy is moving or not. So, for example, recently I had a client and we were outside. It's hot in Singapore. But when I will put my hands on the place where she had a problem, it was cold.
Mm.
So I'm sure if another person will have put her hands, she didn't feel it cold. But for me, it felt cold, like there was no circulation at all.
Yep.
And so then you concentrate the energy with your hands on that place and you remove the blockage and move the energy, try to restore the flow. Sometimes it takes more than a session. So that person, usually I say 4 sessions is the best to get a result.
Yep.
And the client can feel sometimes the heat. So I may start to sweat like crazy.
yeah, that happens in Reiki as well. Yeah.
And the person can feel the heat through my hands. Some people start to cry because they release a blockage. Yeah. And some people have this image of an event or something that happened in their past that come up. And that's when they sometimes want to talk about it after. But I will never tell a person your energy is blocked there, because no, that's not the purpose of the chi healing.
And it's not a formula, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. Some person, I can feel it and I can say, oh, that's there. But some, no, that doesn't mean they don't have a blockage. It's just the perception.
Yeah. So as a chi healer, really your abilities are sort of twofold in a way, I guess. The first is to, you're having a communication with the chi itself, aren't you?
It's more like I'm a transmitter.
Yep.
So I'm concentrating the energy all around me. So it's not something that I have or that I give.
Yep.
Because very often when I say to my mother, I can send you energy. And she said, no, keep your energy, you are tired. Yeah. And I said, Mom, it's not my energy. It's
coming through me.
It's just coming through
not
me.
Not from me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's important, because if you give your own energy, then you cannot live like that. So I'm just passing on the energy from around. And I think the Qigong, my Qigong practice prepared me to that, to connecting to that earth and sky energy all around us. And that's what helped me move the energy.
Move it through. Yeah. I get asked that a lot as well. So I, as you know, I do 3 days a week of healing sessions, and they're full, it's busy. And I often will get asked, aren't you exhausted at the end of the day? And I'm like, actually, it's the opposite, because it's not coming from me. So I get a bit of a hit as it moves through me as well.
Yeah, totally agree. I have the same thing. I always feel very good after practicing Qigong or doing healing, because it just moves the energy.
You're participating in the flow,
exactly.
Aren't you? Yeah. And so this is we're jumping around, but that's okay. I've got so many questions to ask you. But once you felt that you'd really sort of understood it, you know, you felt that you'd mastered it, and you had enough of an understanding, obviously, to offer it to people, would you say that there, aside from your health and your well-being and your sense of vitality within yourself, that your life changed as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It does do that, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, totally. If I look at myself now and 10 years ago, I'm not the same person anymore.
Yeah. And it seems to have a sort of an organizing, harmonizing effect on just your life generally, doesn't it?
I think it's a bit like you recenter yourself. You are being, instead of doing. I think the beginning of my life was the doing part.
Yeah.
And then now I feel like just being me is enough. It's what I need to do. Just center yourself. And I think being one with nature is what's important, that you learn to pay attention to all the thing around you and realize that you're part of something bigger, and that there is energy or force or whatever you call it around you that balance you.
Yeah.
That's really the balance thing. That's, for me, it's what's most important. I think that's, I feel balanced.
Yeah.
I feel connected.
Yeah, I get it. And I think I think what you said about how you move from sort of a kind of a operating mode of doing to an operating mode of being is largely facilitated because when you work with the energy arts, your perception of yourself changes.
Yeah.
You understand all those beautiful things that you said, that you're a conduit for energy, you're a refraction of that energy, you're not alone. And you're actually part of a much bigger, beautiful kind of hologram.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think when you work with energy, you start to realize how powerful you are and all the things that you can do. And if you let your brain, your rational, your go and just focus back on your, I would call it intuition or senses.
Yep.
I don't know. And at the same time, it's a bit feeling that you can do anything, and at the same time realizing that you don't have any control. You can just, if you let it go and follow whatever's coming, you can be part of something bigger.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it does do that too. It does do that. It brings in, certainly for me, and I think this is what you're saying, is it brings you into an understanding that the universe is working in your favor.
Yes, totally.
So there comes this beautiful, not only trust, but And empowerment, I think that's really the word.
Like, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's exactly what I was trying to express.
Yeah, well, no, you expressed it beautifully. You expressed it beautifully.
Sunrise yoga, midday brunch in farmers market, and an evening wedding ceremony and reception. Imagine how many different activities you can do in one place in one day. Well, with Crane, you don't have to imagine. Host a pop-up, workshop, wedding, marketplace, and so much more, all under one roof. Quote Crane Radio for a special discount on your next space rental.
Okay, so I was going to ask you to explain your role as the Qi healer, but I think you've just done that beautifully. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the conduit, the antenna, you listen to way how the energy is moving, if it goes cold or yeah. hot or is sluggish, but then you also have obviously vast knowledge of meridians and connections and things, so you know how to move it through.
What I would say is that Qi healing is not like a miracle cure that you have a session and you get out and yeah. feeling so wonderful. It takes time for your body. It's just like you're going to send energy saying to the body, you're not doing your job,
yep.
work. And then the body's going to work. And then the healing will start.
Yep.
So some people can feel immediate release. Depends a little bit what you have to work on. But some people will only feel it later, a week after,
yep.
depending on how long the body and how long the body was blocked too. I think that has an impact. If your blockage since your childhood, it's not in one session that you can unblock that energy. It will need some time to heal too.
I think you're touching here on something that's really important in understanding the energy arts, and that is that, you know, especially in the Western world, we're so, well, pharmaceutically directed.
Exactly.
And we tend to focus a lot on symptom rather than cause.
Yes.
And we're very used to really kind of, I would say kind of immediate hard-hitting medicine, like you've got a headache, you take a pill, it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
Whereas the energy arts is working with the healing mechanisms of your body, and you have to allow the body to respond,
exactly.
don't you?
And you know, your skin regenerate in 20 days. So if you have eczema, you can put a cream and it disappear, but it doesn't solve your eczema problem. If you want to work on the eczema, which eczema is asthma of the skin, it's your lung energy blocked.
Yep.
You need more than 20 days to heal it.
For the cycle,
for the
regeneration.
For the cycle of the regeneration yep. to work.
Yep, that makes complete sense to me. So, I mean, you mentioned before that people come to see you for either physical complaints or sometimes it might be a bit psychological or emotional,
yep.
for example. What are the main kinds of reasons why people, is it pain?
Yeah, very often, I would say most of the people come for pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also worked a lot with cancer people to support them through the healing journey. So I certainly don't tell them, don't do the medical treatment. No, I just help and support them. So when they have a chemo, I will after send them energy to help them fight the side effect of chemo. And so, for example, I was helping a younger boy and he had pain in his whole body. And then I will send him energy to help with the pain. So more treating, in this case, the physical symptom. But at the same time, his mother was telling me that she can feel that he was feeling better.
Yeah.
So if you feel better, It helps also your health.
Yeah, it does. And it helps your body then assimilate the Western medicine as well, doesn't it? So, you know, I work with a number of people on a cancer journey as well, and I find it's, I'm talking about Reiki here, but I think we're talking about a similar thing. It really helps mitigate the side effects, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. I think it's quite powerful in this case to help people support the medical treatment.
Yeah, so it's so interesting. So the other day, we're going to Qigong now, I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yes, yes. I don't see a difference between Qigong and Qi healing. It's just a different technique, but same idea.
Yeah, so a friend of mine the other day, because we, as we mentioned before, for our listeners, I meet you every week and you hold classes in the beautiful Singapore Heritage Botanic Gardens, which we love, with the roosters and the otters and the birds and the storms. And a friend of mine not that long ago was jogging, and she jogged past our class. And she messaged me later and she said, she didn't even know what we were doing. She said, what were you doing? I said, oh, that's Qigong. And here's Pascal's number, you've got to come. But she said that even though she didn't know what we were doing, as she ran on the path that ran alongside our class, she had the real feeling, and that she's not woo-woo she's one of my sort of like hardcore executive friends. She said that she had a real sensation as she was going past that she was actually running through a field of energy. She felt a shift. She felt her system calm. And then when she ran past us, she sort of popped out of it. Now, we've talked about this before, the power of group energy work. And could you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So it's very different when you do Qigong alone or Qigong in group, because everyone has their own energy, and when they practice Qigong, this energy is added to the nature energy around you, and so that increase the impact and the variation, the vibration, because it's energy, so it's a vibration. And it's not the first time. I had a lady, I was sitting on a, after the Qigong class, I was sitting on a bench and was just taking my time. And one lady passed by and she stopped and she said, oh, I have to tell you, I passed your group this morning and it felt so good. So it's really something that you can feel.
It's amazing, isn't it? And the generation of a shared field, you know, and I see that with my meditation groups as well. Like very often I will have people say, I went to such a depth in the group and then I've been trying the practice on my own and it doesn't feel the same. And we talk about that as well. Like you really trampoline in a group, don't you?
Yes.
We're creating these little circuits and fields when we come together with practice, which fascinates me.
And every group has different energy, because I have different groups during the week, and depending on who is in the group, I can feel the vibration different. And so the group where you are in the morning, and I mean, you certainly attract the same kind of people who are all
the witches.
and this group really vibrates a lot.
Oh, it's a pretty high power group. Yeah. I mean, nearly all of them are healers as well.
Exactly.
So I'm not surprised. Yeah. But
on the same idea, a few years ago, I was one of my group. Every time I was doing the Qigong, I would finish the class and I was feeling sick, like throwing up sick. And so I talked to my Qigong master and I say, I don't know why that group. And so he said, well, did you check when you feel sick, who's in the group? And try to see if maybe you have a energy eater. I don't know how you call them.
Vampire
in the group. And he said, if it's the case, then you have to go into the group, putting your shield up and do your class. and see what happened. And so I did that. And after two class, one of the lady disappeared and she never came back and she never texts me back. Yeah. And I
so
wasn't
she fell out of yeah. the resonance of the group. Yeah.
She was a thing taking my energy. That's why I was feeling sick at the end of the class, because she was pumping my energy.
Yep.
And when she realized that she couldn't get my energy anymore, she wasn't interested in coming anymore. So she stopped coming and I felt better.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But I think all of us have those experiences, yeah. like even socially, don't we?
Yes,
like,
yes,
you know,
totally
if you're going through like some kind of a spiritual expansion and you're moving along in your path and you're understanding yourself, and some people do fall away out of your life, but yeah. then other great people also come
true.
In. Yeah, it's kind of like a vibrational resonance, yeah. harmonic resonance yeah. thing for sure.
Yes, since I started my journey, the people I was friend with 10 years ago, I'm not friend with any of them anymore. I really moved on to another group of people.
Yeah,
totally
it changes.
Yeah,
it does. It does, which is beautiful, which is another beautiful example of just this dynamic that all of its energy, isn't it? And all of it's around harmonics and or dissonance and disharmony too. I've still got so many questions, but I really want to put this out there. So there is a particular pigeon in the Botanic Gardens, which is a very snazzy pigeon. It's a white one with black spots. And it finds you every single time and actually walks right up to you and just kind of like cruises around you.
Yeah,
and we laugh about it. We say it's your boyfriend and you should give it a kiss and see if it turns into a prince in a tuxedo. But there is animals and nature respond very readily to the energy arts, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes. I had the number of different animal always attracted by our group. I had once, I was doing Qigong in front of the lake and I saw on the lake there was a black swan. They're always the black swan. And I was looking at him and I was thinking, oh, that would be funny if he comes to our class. And I was doing the Qigong looking at him and suddenly the swan came out of the lake, walked the whole land and just stood in front of us and even went into my bag.
Amazing. They're beautiful, those swans. You know they're Australian, those swans?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, the original pair were a gift to the Singapore Prime Minister from the Western Australia. This was years ago. Because the symbol for Western Australia is the black swan. But I think there's generations. Yeah. So I'm kind of like that black swan. I waddled up to your class one day and went, can I join?
And we often have the otter visiting and the big lizard. Very often I'm doing Qigong and when I look at the people and they all look a little bit like stunned and I say, do I have a lizard behind? Yes, you do.
It's just incredible. And it happens with Reiki students as well. Mm. And it's actually in part of my briefing to them. So after they've done their attunements and they're really running the Reiki regularly, which they need to do for, 2 to 3 weeks after their attunements. And I in the notes I've got, you'll notice a different engagement with animals. And nearly all of them report it, they'll be at a friend's place who has a particularly unfriendly cat, but the cat's all over them, sitting in their lap, purring, or little birds fly into their house. Or, I find that fascinating as well,
And when I do chi healing in my house, I used to have a cat and he was very shy. So every time somebody, I would see my cat run and I thought, oh, somebody's at the door. He was hiding under my bed. But when I would start the chi healing session, after 1 or 2 minutes, the cat would come running and going between our legs. So he really feel the energy.
Yeah, they sense it. My cats do as well. Mm. I do distance Reiki every Wednesday with my clients in different locations around the world. And my cats, I do it in my room.
Yeah.
And my cats run in. And they just sort of, you know, just chill, you know, while I'm doing it, which is an excellent segue to my next question is that, I mean, you mentioned your mum's in
Belgium,
based in Belgium, and you send chi healing to her. So you can, it's a distance modality as well. Yes. And so how does that work? Like,
so I just, if I don't know the person, my, of course, my mother, I don't need anything special, but usually I will get a photo of the person.
Yep.
And our name, and that's enough for me to work. I do have people asking me to work on a different person, like a kid or a parent. But I always said ask the consent because it's energy. Some people do not believe, so it doesn't mean that it won't work, but. You need to be open to receive.
Yeah, so. Of course you do. Yeah, yeah. So permission's massive with me as well. You know, like I have heard energy healers say things like, oh, I had a conversation with their higher self and got agreement. No, I just think that's BS. Like, it's got to be the person on the ground totally. And they're seeking the healing and they have permission. I'm a stickler for that as well.
I wouldn't do it on somebody who's not aware of it because
no,
that doesn't feel right.
Well, I think it can be dangerous too, you know, like if they're if they're driving, because it does alter your consciousness, doesn't it?
Yes, every time I do it on my parents, they fall asleep. And so I always send a text at the end saying I'm finished, and then I have a big blank for 30 minutes, then my mother say, okay, I'm awake.
Yeah, that happens with my distance clients as well. But, you know, the other thing as well that I'm equally fascinated in is this connection between running higher amounts of chi through the system and intuition, which you touched on earlier. So, and this is why I don't teach straight Usui Reiki. My course is intuitive healing because because in my personal experience, I noticed that the more regularly I ran the Reiki, the sharper, clearer, more accurate and more perceivable was my intuitive Tuition. Prompting. And in your Qigong classes as well, I will, when we're doing all the gorgeousness that you guide us through, very often I will have an intuitive insight that'll pop up about something like maybe a dream that I had or a problem that I'm pondering or whatever. And so you're nodding vigorously. So there really is it the same? There's a connection, isn't there?
I think it's because when you do Qigong, you get into this stage of letting go of the rational mind and getting center back into yourself and I think that's where your intuition is stronger when you are center and balanced
and still
in stillness.
I agree with that. That's how I explain it to my community as well, is that the dialogue's happening all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like some people are psychic or intuitive and some people aren't. No. We're all designed the same way.
Exactly.
But we're missing the language of it because we're so dissipated with all the doing and the thinking and the craziness.
And everyone is has a different perception. So some people see things, some people feel things. So it's a bit what's working the best for you. I rarely see things, but it happened during a few sessions where, for example, a horse appeared and started running around the group.
Gorgeous.
And it doesn't happen often, so I was quite... But more often it's my feeling because I'm a kinetic person. So
that's his sentience, his clairsentience. Whereas I'm very visual.
So
And I agree with this. I think all of us have got all the eight... or intuitive senses, depending on what list you're looking at. I think we're all designed the same way, but I do think some of us have a proclivity towards one of them, whether it's clairsentience or clairvoyance or a lot of my people in my community, the psychics, are clairaudient.
Yeah.
So they will hear guidance, you know, which is super fascinating. But But absolutely there is this connection between working with the energy arts and exploring the energy arts and your psychic senses, I guess, for want of a better word, really booting up and becoming sharper, And this is a known thing in yogic philosophy too, isn't it? That your siddhis start to wake and become active the more prana you work with your asana. Two more questions for you. The first is, there's going to be people listening to this and hopefully that are inspired, right? They go, wow, this sounds great. I'd love to understand chi more. But they may be in lockdown. They may not have the means or ready access to a chi healer or qigong master. What are some things that someone listening to this who would like to go, they're feeling a stirring and they would like to say, I want to understand more about the energy arts. What are things they can do themselves today to help them open their perception to energy? You mentioned, in fact, we talked about this in your class this week, about how important it is to be connecting with nature.
Yeah. So I always said the important thing in Qigong is the repetition. So if it doesn't, you don't need to learn all the movement that exists in Qigong. Usually I said to people, when you do the class, if there is one movement that resonates with you, just choose this one and do it every day for 5 minutes max.
Yep.
This will help you flow your chi, and then you can feel the energy.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's the same with all of spiritual practices, though, I think. The benefits of meditation are only yielded with daily practice.
Exactly. Consistency,
because it's a relationship, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And Reiki's the same. The more frequently you run the Reiki, the more the Reiki itself starts to guide you. There's an intelligence to it.
Similar
to the way that you describe the chi. So I'm very, 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 very sad that you've decided that it's time for a new adventure back towards Europe. You're going to be very missed here.
Oh, thank you.
But what's next for you?
So I will first go back and reconnect with people I haven't seen for so long. I mean, it's more than 2 years that I haven't seen my kids, and so I need this love bath.
Yeah, I get it.
And then I will, I think I need to be and wait. I have this feeling something is coming.
Yep.
I still don't know what. I think it will be linked to Qigong, because that's so inside of me, it's so part of me that I don't think I can do anything else. Even if I do something else, I think I will still practice Qigong for myself. But I feel it's linked to it. But my ideal
vision,
visualization, will be to go in a warm country of Europe like Portugal or Spain and restart my practice. And the most ideal thing would be, I would love to start retreat so people that I know from all over the world could come and visit me.
Listeners can't hear this, but my hands up going, I will be there. I mean,
I will post on the Facebook update of where I am and what I'm doing, so people can follow me and know what's happening with me.
Yeah, fantastic. And you will land well, This is, and I love your approach that you'll do all the catching up and you'll reconnect with your tribe and then you'll just be still.
Yeah.
It'll come.
Yeah.
You know that, don't
you? Yeah, I feel it's going to be better than fine. I think it's something big is coming. I don't know what, but something big is coming.
You can feel tremors.
It. Yeah.
Tremors in the force. Yeah. Pascal, it's been so beautiful for me to come to know you and to participate in your beautiful teaching. And I'm just so happy that you were available to record this live.
Yeah, it was a very nice experience. First time for me, and you do that really well.
Thank you. And you know, I hope I can bring you back once you once you set up and you know what you're doing over there, and we can do the podcast on Zoom as well.
Yeah, of course.
Pascal Genard, all the very best for the future and for this year, and thank you so much for joining the Modern Crone.